Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinking bros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
All right, let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. And they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code BROS. Tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. They're sleepy time gummies. Knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling amazing the next day. And they're epic euphoria gummies. Well, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your shitty mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere else for that matter. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immune supports, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS. And they can ship to almost every single state in the United States of America. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off with their first order with code BROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Browse their amazing selection of functional gummies and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use the promo code BROS at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Yeah, back in studio. Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Nice little Tuesday afternoon special here.
Is that what day it is?
I think it is, but it's been tough. You and I have been all over the planet in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
We're happy to be back in Tejas for a little bit, at least. Yeah. We're happy to have these guys on the show today. Burbiz is on the show. Scott Davidson, what's up? Jesus Christ, you're jacked.
It's old man strength. It's
Boy, look at those cannons, my man. Look at those pythons.
I got to carry Jack around.
Can you talk into the goddamn microphone?
Yeah. Hey, he has
come
to explain
on,
it. Dan knows better. He didn't give instructions.
I did. Yeah, he's in the Navy, so it's like you got to tell him everything.
Oh,
the last naval officer to come on here was what's his name? The former White House press secretary, Sean.
Sean Spicer.
Spicer, yeah, mm-hmm. Spice Dog. That's what I was trying to think of.
Spice Dog.
Yeah, we called him Spice Dog, and when he first introduce himself like, oh, so you were in the Navy. That's basically like the military, right? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah, he was not a fan of that.
Didn't seem like he enjoyed that too much, but it's true, Sean.
Don't know if the joke landed for him.
And then he like was trolling me on Instagram afterwards. Like, oh, they never invite me back. Like, dude, I told you come back whenever, as long as we can call you Spice Dog the entire time.
Yeah, and we're going to call him.
Jack, say some fucking words,
dude.
That's
what we do. We got Jack Mandeville in the house from Friday Night Jack Sesh on Patreon. Drinking Bros Podcast is there.
Also Chet Scoveland.
Chet Scoveland as well. We're going to do some things with Chet this fall for football season. Welcome, Jack. How are you, buddy?
I'm very good, Ross. Thank you for having me on the show. Dan, thank you for having me on the show. Scott, as a former intelligence officer, I got to say, you are a great Army officer.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Only coming from you, though.
So the reason Jack is here on the show, he's been working with Burbiz.
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 Like bourbon.
Burbiz.
Bourbon and business.
Bourbon and business.
For years and years and years. You guys have been doing some amazing things, but I want to start off with an amazing gift you have brought to our set.
Yeah, speaking of football season.
Yeah.
I figured it'd make the most sense, right, considering that you guys are a true fan of the work of OJ.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, the athlete.
Yes, yeah.
We're able to separate the athlete from the murderer.
That's right. So
if you can't see, this is a Bills helmet from back in the day. OJ's signature, all of his stat lines right here. And I think there's a bloody glove tucked up in here somewhere, but I can't find it. So we'll look for that later.
Let's put it on and see if it fits.
I know. But I am honestly thinking about wearing this to the airport sometime.
All Scott ever got me was a handkerchief signed by Ryan Leaf. So you guys, he really likes you.
Was
guys.
It the handkerchief he used to dab his eyes after he was crying in the locker room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it to have something to do with him getting arrested at the Canadian border with a bunch of ecstasy?
Could have been both.
Could have been his cum rag. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lie, though. What did I get you, though?
Oh, he got me. He got me the autograph from Rudy Rudiger.
Framed.
On the jersey. Framed, yeah.
So he's right over there. Somewhere.
Yeah, we've got it. It's actually way, way far away from the sets in a back room. But right behind you, there's one on a helmet. Right behind you on that.
Oh, yeah. We're
helmet.
Supposed to blow that thing up, actually.
We were. COVID interfered.
We do a thing for the sports show every year. We have a prize, and usually there's at least one Notre Dame-related prize because they have the worst fans on earth. Most delusional, at least, right?
Right.
And the first winner of our Sarah Williams Worst Fan of the Year Award was...
Kaylin Cothran, yes. Yeah.
Who is a Notre Dame fan, right? Mm-hmm. So we started this tradition where we would get... He's in one of the fantasy football leagues, and there's a Notre Dame piece of gear up to win. And if we win it, one of us wins it, then we fucking destroy the thing.
Did he go to Notre Dame?
I don't think so.
They never do.
He may have. I mean, he's at least from the area. I don't know. I mean, he's a pretty smart guy, so there's a good chance he went there, I think. But I don't know if he did or not.
Were you blowing up the Rudy helmet because he's actually, in fact, in real life, contrary to the movie, a gigantic piece of shit?
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Never heard that. No, we were doing it because Notre Dame is always overrated. Rudy was offsides. And
It was more just to piss off the Notre Dame fans because they love Rudy so much.
Yeah.
So every year in fantasy football, and we usually have like 6 to 8 leagues. One is a pure burn Rudy burn.
Yeah, we burned league. A jersey 2 years ago in 19 at Black Rifle.
I keep winning this league. Last year's the first time I haven't won this league. I keep winning the league, and then we burned the jersey live on air, and then we burned the next thing, and then this one needs to be burned as well. But somebody else won the Rudy jersey, and they did not burn it. They kept it this year.
Yeah, of course they did, because they're assholes.
The OJ thing, how did you know OJ Simpson?
So I do a lot of work with autographs, memorabilia, things of that nature. Knew I found out was going to come on. I talked to Dan. Mm. And so he did a private signing recently. And so I reached out.
With the juice.
Yeah, with the juice. So we went out and we found, I talked to a couple people who work with my network. And I said, well, shit, I'm coming on here. I got to get it for you guys. So I purposely got the throwback helmet because I thought that would be the one
well,
you guys
Well, we've got
needed.
The that's matching the jersey back there,
So I matched, and I said, that's the one we had to get.
And just
so.
To clarify for the audience, this was from Scott Davidson here. The gift from Dr. Frank was this Dwight Schrute bobblehead right here.
Yes.
You see it.
You just brought that.
But it's signed by Rainn Wilson.
That's awesome.
If you can see it there.
Which is amazing. Dwight Schrute. Dr. Frank got you that one.
Yeah.
And that's going to live on the desk forever.
Yep.
Brought that back from North Carolina. There's very few things that Dan likes in this world. I think The Office, always sunny in Philadelphia.
Dwight Schrute specifically. Most of the characters on The Office are absolute dog shit. Like that whole Jim and Pam thing, they're both cunts. Both of those people. They're the worst people on earth. All they do is sit around their fucking judgy assholes that have accomplished nothing in life.
Yeah.
But somehow feel the need to judge everybody else.
And Dwight is by far one of the hardest workers
in the
office.
Dwight is a hardworking pragmatist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And loyal.
And loyal as
Very
fuck.
Very loyal.
Yep. So I like Dwight. The rest of you guys can get fucked.
Yeah. What about Andy? What about Andy?
No, I always Andy. Curious. Andy is like a fucking trust fund
fan. Yeah, I was never a fan of.
I can't
of
deal
the
with
Andy
trust
characters.
Fund kids.
If you met, I've worked with people as close as you can get to an actual person like Dwight Schrute before. Mm-hmm. They're great for television. They can be insufferable in person, though.
Oh, I'm sure he would be hard to work with on a day to day basis in an office.
Yeah, right.
Because he's just fucking weird.
Yeah,
right? But I don't have to deal with that.
No.
So yeah,
right.
No. I'm a fan.
And we're a fan of your organization. Tell everybody what it is, how you guys got started, and what you're doing here in the Tejas area.
So I appreciate that. So we're excited. So Burbiz is basically a brainchild of myself and retired Lieutenant Colonel Justin Constantine, who's Marine. People probably seen him around. He was, we were in Iraq 2006. He was shot in the head by a sniper. He's got that famous story. People have probably seen him. You can Google him. Does TED Talks now, things that way. But basically, he was on patrol. Sniper got him, was operating the area. The bullet struck him in the back of the right ear, exited out of the front of his face from here to here.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And it was an AK round. So three, actually, and the crazier part about that was two Marines had been killed right at that same time. So the sniper got three people, essentially, while they're doing that. And his story is just incredible. We can go into that another day. But he survives. And I will say this is the fucking best ballsy move people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
When they drove him, so he's been shot. Mm-hmm. People thought he was dead because they're engaging an actual sniper and they're fighting actually because this was in Ramadi. And the PFC, I believe, at the time grabbed him, throw him in the Humvee. They couldn't medevac him out. They drive him in the worst fucking IED alley road possible to get him to a forward operating hospital. And think about everyone thought he was dead. They had to, they did CPR. His heart stopped twice. He then gets up out of the back of the Humvee and walks his ass into the fucking the hospital. People don't know about that part. People
Holy
think whatever.
Shit.
And he stood up on his own with his face like that. And they had to grab his head at one point to get it because he kept on trying to pull the trach out of his. They had to do his emergency trach right there in the sand. And when he walks, and he only had one good eye that was unfortunately detached and hanging.
Oh,
and still
boy.
See. And so they said, hey, sir. You need to move now or you're going to die. And he gets up and he walks into the hospital.
He never gave up, just like Rudy.
Never like Rudy.
Yeah.
So anyway, and of course, Justin's recovery. Thank you. It's a good segue for Rudy. But
Dan's face right now says it all.
I want to die.
Yeah. I'm sure Justin will thank you when he goes to Burbiz and sees you, Jack. So Justin and I both had met a couple years back at a I was teaching at Syracuse University at the time for entrepreneurial boot camp for veterans with disabilities, and we met in this class. We started talking about, and we both had a pretty rough transition out of the military. We both are medically retired. And just was the, we just had some, obviously we had some very interesting times coming out. And we kind of sat down and we said, how do we fucking make things better? But not like from a perspective of, oh, you got to go to this, you know, I got, it's a job fair. It's a fucking, like, I got to learn about business or entrepreneurship, right?
Right.
So what happens is we said, well, why don't we create something where it's for everything, where it's mental health, it's physical fitness, it's entrepreneurship, it's jobs, it's everything. And let's throw in the whole camaraderie of being in the service together and let's just make it a good atmosphere. And that's where we kind of came up with the whole point of bourbon and business. That's where bourbon comes from. And we started to do that. And we've tweaked it over the years. And that's what it is. You come into the event. It's always free, no matter what. That's always been our goal. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do not charge a soul coming in there. We never wanted a barrier for entry at all because we know how bad it could be. And we want it to be easy for people to get in. Mm. Veterans and military spouses. And then when you come in, it's free. There's always a four-hour open bar. That does not change, and you guys know that from Vegas.
Yeah. I know it from San Antonio.
I don't know. What was your tab at the end of that last shot?
$17,000.
That was a big event, though. It was bigger probably than the one in San Antonio because everybody was there. Chef was there. I mean, there was pretty much everybody was there.
It's big, and it fluctuates, right? So, like, when we do Vegas this year, it's going to be what we're planning on doing. We could talk about that a little bit. It's going to be much. It'll be bigger than that.
Wait, when is that going to be?
It's at SHOT Show. January 18th. Yeah, January 18th. We're going to have it that
2022. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. 2022, we'll have it there. But yeah, so it was about $17,000. But
you don't need to hold the mic right. Like
it's
that.
Worth. There yeah, sorry. It's worth it though because so what happens is we don't charge. Everyone, by that second drink, everyone's fucking talking, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing is you get that energy going in the field. Everyone's moving around. It's awesome. And we get that, and you basically walk away with, you can walk 1 foot and run into a Medal of Honor recipient who's going to talk to you about mentorship and leadership. Yeah. You walk another foot, I'm going to walk into Chef Rush to talk to you about whatever you want to talk
Chef
about.
Well, if it's Clint Romeshaw that you're running into, he's just going to want to talk to you about cigarettes.
Yeah, cigarettes, yeah. And he wants a beer. I already know what Clint wants.
Or talks about the Dakotas. Yes. Montana or something like it. I just want to be back where nobody is. Just like, all right, cool, man.
Oil workers and farmers.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be around people.
He's a very salt-of-the-earth guy.
It's pulling teeth. I love him, but it's like I know it's pulling teeth when he goes to those things. But that's where we came up with the process. So we grew up. First event was back in New York City, actually, a block from the Freedom Tower. It wasn't built yet, but it was almost done at the Marriott there. We had 100 people show up. Our largest event was in Washington, D.C. before fucking COVID, obviously, in April in 2019. We had over 1,600 people show up.
Oh, wow.
So that was total, and we had it at the MGM National Harbor. And
that's right. That was, what month was that, like in June 16th or
something? It was April. Okay. April 19th, and that was just...
Oh, June was the one here in San Antonio.
So we rotate. We go across the country where we want, and we go to usual areas. Like San Antonio is an obvious place because it's a military town, USA, or military city, USA, whatever the fuck they call it. And then, you know, D.C., New York's out for probably the immediate future, unfortunately.
Florida's a good spot right now.
Florida's a great spot. Yeah. We just did an event there at the Horse Soldier Bourbon Tavern. Mm. That thing is fucking amazing. Yeah. We did that in March in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
That is
we could definitely do
place.
One. So our Tactical Brewing is owned by some Marines buddies of ours in Orlando. Now their facility would not be big enough for this, I don't think. But
not 1,600.
But they could.
Nah, that's a lot of people.
But
yeah.
They could. We could certainly have them supply shit, and that's who we're making. We have a new seltzer.
We have a new seltzer coming out this fall. So
it's 8%.
Yeah, we're partnering up with Tactical Brewery there. So
we have to introduce you to those guys. Okay. Also, need to introduce you to Ray Care, who lives in your area.
Ray Cash Care.
You know who he is?
Yeah.
I've asked him a couple times, like, why have you not gotten involved with these guys yet? And he goes, well, I don't know them. Yeah. So what?
Well, it's a networking event. It's a great time to meet each other.
You can come in. You don't have to pay for shit. So,
and you guys always have a ton of celebrities at your event. I remember all your DC gigs. I feel like all the Washington football teams.
Through Scott, I feel like I've met every single person that's been on that roster. Mm. Like not active, but like since the 80s.
Yeah, I I am involved with the team. So we'll talk about from football, from NFL. I sit on the leadership council for the Washington football team. Basically what that does is we serve as advisors when it comes to anything community related.
Mm-hmm.
So from charitable perspective.
Or like changing the name of the team?
Yeah, I mean that's one of them. So and you know,
so
it's
are they going to stick with WFT? Because I got to be honest, I kind of like it.
So do I. That's what I told him out in the lobby. I said the same thing. I go, dude, kinda I
kind of
like
it. It's
like
unique. It's nobody else does that.
No,
it's like the Yankees not having their names on the back of their
and there's
jerseys.
No logos. It reminds me of a team in like the 1900s where you're just like, all right, great,
like the old wool uniforms with just a low like the team logo on the front and nothing else.
Yeah,
like
I'm
the Akron Slammer Jackers.
What?
that sounds like an old time sports team name.
I don't think that was one of the ones up there. Here's what I'll say.
The old Slammer Jackers are here, kids.
They're smart about what they're doing, right? So Jason Wright is a very smart president. The team and Dan, Mr. Snyder, excuse me, everybody else is smart about it. They're going to see how it performs, the name, is what I can say. So I'm pretty sure they're going to see how it performs. And, they've gone down this path. I could say that. We were a part of it. We did the focus groups with the veterans on the name itself. And just to get some names that were out there that have been in the top, the finalists.
A lot of people wanted something patriotic up there. But I get that for sure. But to be honest, just being the only, James Altucher says this all the time, being the only of something is better than even being the best at something.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
He's like one of my favorite authors on business. I think WFT makes more sense than coming up with any other name. So make it happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. Everyone said and called like, what the fuck? Everyone saw what social media was doing. Like, how could you pick that name? And there was a smart marketing group behind that for a reason.
For real. I mean, that was a really good fucking decision because what could you even say about it? Like, you can bitch about it, but what exactly is the complaint?
Right. You know, people were so confused.
They're mad about nothing. They don't know why they're mad.
They were like,
There was no reason to be. Yeah. And think about it. They did that fast. They didn't do that slow. They did that fucking fast. From the time they said they were changing it to the time it rolled out was an incredible speed. And I was talking to Doug Williams. Obviously, everyone knows Doug Williams. So I was talking to Doug Williams about this.
Super Bowl champion.
First African-American
quarterback
to win it. And he was the MVP, too.
Yeah.
And Doug, because I straight out said, I go, what do you think about changing the team name? This is what he said. Was interesting. It was a great response. And, he can yell at me later. He said, listen, I will always be a Redskin. Because every picture you'll see in the Hall of Fame, that's my uniform. That's what I want it on, right? We're not going to change the Lombardi trophy. We're not going to change any of those things. He goes, however, it doesn't show that it's not progress. And he goes, well, absolutely can change the name.
How do you know you're making progress if you don't remember what happened?
Yes.
It needs something inspirational like the Washington Rudigers.
God, I'm going to stab you. I've got a gun right here.
Do you want to sit next to
him? He's got a gun right there.
I'll go. I know exactly where to put it on the lower left-hand side of your abdomen where it's not really going to fuck you up.
Well, this is where I got shot, so aim for the arm. I don't want any extra scars.
By the way, did you know that Marty Scoveland got shot during his time in the military but in basic training by a stray round on a gun range and never in combat?
I did not know
he's
that.
He's like
actually.
The least lucky motherfucker
Super
of all time.
Super Army Ranger guy.
Never. He was in Ranger bat for fucking I think 3 or 4 deployments. Mm-hmm. Never got touched while he was deployed, but he caught a stray round in basic training.
Oh fuck!
How does that even happen?
I have no fuck. Who? I mean, what do you mean? How's it happen?
I mean,
people
I know it happens
because
everyone's stupid. Yeah. But like that's crazy.
He's the nicest guy ever, too.
Do you know? There was one goober in my fucking basic training, and I swear this one drill sergeant. He actually the drill sergeant I had started the combatives program at Fort Benning back in the day, like what 15, 20 years ago, and this drill sergeant slammed this kid into the ground so many times on the gun range to keep him from hurting somebody. So I can imagine if a guy's not paying it like this, he would be, that one, you didn't do anything, but the fuck. You were in the infantry now, it is kind of light infantry light.
Yeah.
Like you were LAV.
Yeah.
Right? But you're doing that, one of those courses where you shoot, bound up to another piece of cover, shoot, just to teach you how to get cover
basic
and maneuver. Yeah.
First week infantry school.
Every time this kid would do it, he would leave his weapon on semi, first of all. Like this, finger in the trigger well, running like this.
Yeah.
Like, dude, there's people over there, and there's people over there.
He's probably one
fuck.
Of those weird, like, guys that got homeschooled in Montana. This is the first time he's been around more than 5 people at once.
He was super weird. Yeah.
You get a lot of that in the
he
military.
Didn't
yeah.
He didn't seem like he had a lot of socialization.
Yeah.
Right?
And nothing against homeschooling, but sometimes you meet those, like, the Bo Bergdahl mountain kid types.
Yeah.
Where they're not stupid because
they have no life skills.
They have no life skills. They grew up as almost feral.
Anyways, back to that point of this fucking show. So when you go to one of these Burbiz events, there's all sorts of different people. Usually Jason from Girl Your Ass Off is there.
Jason Murph.
Clint comes a lot. Fucking you're there a lot. Rich Hyde, Angry Cops is there a lot. A lot of people are there.
Chef Rush.
Chef Rush is there a lot, yeah. Especially over the last, 2 years or so. Yeah. Dan Sharp's at a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Pop Smoke on Instagrams. But a lot of people you wouldn't know. I mean, people like Evan and stuff like that from Black Rifle Go, business leaders. But basically, if you're a guy if you're a guy or gal, it doesn't matter what your fucking gender is. But if you are just getting out of the military, you're a veteran or whatever, you're looking for some way to develop job skills or just connections in the industry, internships. Yeah. If you're a person with a business and you're looking for capital, any of that stuff,
yeah,
this is the place to go.
I've met a lot of people who had success stories from there. I met a couple that are, I think they either just got married or they're engaged that they met at Purpose.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And because of the successes, people who actually have the jobs to give and the skills to give and the capital to give are now showing up to them as well, right? Mm-hmm. Looking for, because they know that these people are dynamic thinkers and have really good ideas and are highly motivated, right? So you don't have to worry about a vet showing up to work every day.
Typically. Right. And it's interesting, I've noticed this, we've done a bunch in D.C., it's interesting to see different, how people communicate culturally in different ways based on what community it's in. D.C., right. You're going to see a lot, I mean, D.C.'s, there's no shortage of retired lieutenant colonels living around there. So the kind of conversation that happens there is typically, like, a lot of it's defense related.
Trying to get government contracts and shit. Stuff like that. Which is, by the way, his wheelhouse.
Right, anyways, right, right. And then you go to a place like
with GCO Consulting. If you're looking to get a government contract, a federal contract, probably look up GCO Consulting. They can help.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are good at putting those things together. Like the responding to
RFPs.
RFPs,
yeah.
I mean, it is a fucking shit show. And then auditing your shit after the fact and making sure you're all legit and stuff. Because, look, you don't want to end up owing the federal government money.
No.
You know what I mean? Because they'll give it to you slow, but they'll take it back all at
real
once.
Fast. Like,
so,
real fast.
I don't owe the government any money because I wrote a blank check up into my life.
Smart.
So I will tell you that real quick. Yeah, you want
to just shoot yourself.
I don't know about you, baby, but I'm feeling 22.
He's going to go 23 today. So real quick about that government contract, because I know you appreciate this. So I do I do heavy audit, like remediation side, like legal side. So basically when the Department of Justice has come fucked your day up, that's the kind of things that I run. So here's a crazy story because I know you appreciate this. We had this crazy fucking guy. I never forget this. So we were handling an audit. Basically, an audit, you did something wrong. Whatever.
It's not always malicious, by the way. Sometimes
it's just random. And
correct. Yeah. I would say the majority of the time it's ignorance or just, you know what, they grew too quick. There's always something.
Right.
There was this guy. He was out of fucking control. No, I won't say the name, but he was an Air Force vet. That's how I always remember this.
It was Jared Taylor.
It was Jared Taylor. He was stripping. So the auditor's in there. He had to fucking screw this. There was something wrong with him. But he did really well. He was probably doing about $60 million a year in government contracts. He was doing well. And he was a service-disabled veteran at one point. And he did. He was fucked up his leg, something. But we didn't know what it was. And the auditor's in there. I just came that day because the team said, oh, you know, the auditor's going to be in-house today. I'm like, all right, that's great. So I just go visit my people to make sure everybody's okay. Mm. This guy comes in, and he just fucking starts screaming at the auditors, right, and accusing them of being racist against white veterans. I'll never forget this entire thing. It was the weirdest. And
white veterans are one of the most economically deprived classes in all of the United States.
It is. Yeah.
It's common knowledge.
And he was, but it was a very weird situation because I was just like, listen. So now he's like threatening the auditors, and I'm like, oh, my God. So I get up. I separate this guy, and he doesn't stop screaming about this white thing. Put him in his room. I go, what the fuck is wrong with you? And he just wouldn't stop. There was something clearly wrong with him.
Right.
4 weeks later, now there's a cease and desist. It was bad because he threatened their lives in that point of time.
And you're using third party auditors, right?
The auditors are my auditors, auditors are government. So it's the Department of Justice and it's the Office Inspector General. So all of a sudden things start going crazy. So we go to a meeting one time with him too, and he threatens the head contracting officer of an agency right there. He says he's going to kill this bitch. He says, I'm going to kill you, bitch. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I literally at this point, I grab my phone and I'm like, well, they're going to call the police. And I'm just looking at my phone now. So the police come and they arrest this guy.
Sure.
So now they got a restraining order. And this is how crazy it starts to get with him. So we're now going down this path. So we were going to have a meeting now with the U.S. attorney because they uncovered all kinds of shit, like bad stuff. And then it was the next morning, 8 o'clock. We had to be at the office or whatever it was. We get an email, 3:30 in the morning, from a Gmail that said it was the guy's doctor and he died. and that he died from cancer somehow.
Ah, this guy tried to fake his own death.
He tried to fake his own death. So he put it everywhere, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I'm looking at, you get up, it's like 6. I call the actual attorney's representing him. I go, what do we do? He goes, we're going in. Doesn't matter. So what happens is they call us in, and we're sitting there, and we're like, you know, everyone's there, and the U.S. attorney's like, I guess he's not coming because he's dead, huh? I'm like, no. So they go, well, I just want to let you know, we're just going to just show you something real quick. And they show us a videotape, and they've been following this guy. He's under surveillance now for a long time.
Okay.
And so what he would do was, because he was basically, he was just doing bad shit, but I'll tell you what he was doing.
What was he doing? Was he robbing?
I'll explain. I'll explain exactly what he did in the video.
Okay.
So they have him up until this point. He was pretending to be very sick, right? So he had an oxygen tank and everything else. And
Harvey Weinstein. Yeah.
Then he dies.
But was he doing it the right way? Was he like? Because some people will try to fake an injury, but they'll limp on the wrong leg, or they'll be on a wheelchair with some other disease.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. So the videotape, when you watch it,
I had never heard this story before.
He did it. So what happens is they watch him. They follow the guy. He goes, watch this. They edited the thing down. They follow him to the airport after a meeting when he was with them, right?
Uh-huh.
And he had his oxygen tank. They watch him. First off, they watch him go to the car, pick the oxygen tank up, and throw it in the trunk.
Yes.
Take off his oxygen, get in the car, drive to the airport. Drive to the airport, leave the oxygen
tank. He did that in the parking lot.
In the fucking parking lot.
At a federal building?
At a federal building. Like, it was the most ridiculous. It was like, it was in D.C. Like, he had the thing. He was outside. Car was parked outside. And he had a good spot, too. I'm like, he didn't want to lose his spot, I guess. So, he gets in. He takes a flight. He flies to Florida. They got him the whole time, right?
Yeah.
When he lands, they have him. They're watching him. He goes into a bank in Florida. He takes out a ridiculous sum of cash, like several hundred thousand dollars. He gets on a fucking trophy boat, like a charter boat.
Mm. Sure.
Goes to the Bahamas, dumps his money into the banks there so that nobody would notice.
Yep.
And then he proceeds to have all these, I would assume, ladies of the night were on the boat with him. And they're watching this whole thing. He's sport fishing. They have all the clips.
Yeah. Old smoot party.
Yeah, exactly, like a smoot party.
That's the first reference you've made today that's acceptable. I just want you to know
yes.
that. Because we love Fred Smoot.
And this guy, of course, he's not dead. But they're like, we just want to let you know who your client really is. And I can't say anything. You're talking to the attorney.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. They go, we know he's not dead, obviously. We have eyes on him. Just let you know. So just let him know when he wants to come back in, we can come back in. That's a day in the life. That's all I'm going to say.
Jesus fucking Christ.
How did this end up? Because if I'm this guy.
He's in prison.
Oh, yeah.
He's in prison. Okay. Yeah, if I'm this guy, I go ahead and stay down there and never come back.
Well, you can't. Bahamas, we have extradition with Bahamas.
That's exactly right.
At least go to fucking Panama, motherfucker. It's not even that much farther.
But here's the reason I bring this up. Do you have this conversation with your clients and say, hey, dude, here's what they have on you. It's a, client privilege. You should probably go down to Panama where they can't extradite.
You know what? He should have hired the attorney that the QAnon shaman had. The one that said that all of his clients were retards.
Yeah.
Like, he actually said that out loud.
He did.
He goes, these people are like, come on, they're retard. They're on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, you can't blame them.
Yeah.
He literally said that.
That's not a bad strategy.
It's also not inaccurate.
It's also not fair to the thousands of people on Spectrum who haven't stormed the Capitol building.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I've not stormed the Capitol building once so far
right.
as I know.
No. Yeah. No.
I don't think I have.
So, no.
Yeah. Those moments when you're in a room with an attorney and their client and they're fucked like that, it's a very weird conversation.
I love that shit.
It is a weird conversation.
He knows this. I'm one of the, I don't know why it is. I think it's just because of my condition. I've had to study human emotion to be able to understand it for so long. It's fascinating to me how it works. But some of my favorite moments are when the energy just gets zapped out of a room or when things are super awkward. So I went to Penn State for grad school. We were at the whiteout game 3 years ago.
Yeah, for Ohio State,
Penn State's just whipping their ass the entire game. All of a sudden, with 7 minutes left, Ohio State wins the game. At the last second.
They were down by like 18 points or something crazy 18, like that. Yeah. And Dan, he had gone to school there. We were in Penn State. They're playing
112,000
Carolina. People are celebrating. They're like, this game is over. It's a blowout. Dan turns to me and he goes, with all these people's happiness right now, the greatest thing in the world is if they fucking lost this game.
Yeah.
It is 110,000 people.
I'm not
sold out. It's his own school, and he wants them to lose just to see their reactions.
I don't care if they lose or not. That's the point. You know what I mean? It is unless I have money on the game or something.
Right.
Even then, I really don't care. It's just It's not even that other people being miserable makes me happy. I just like to observe those radical changes like that.
Yeah.
It's very, in a control, what is essentially a controlled environment, right?
Yeah.
I enjoy that very much.
It's so much so, in fact, when Ohio State comes back and wins at like the last second and all this, it was a miraculous comeback.
Right.
The entire air has been sucked out of this.
Everybody's wearing white t-shirts.
Except for me. I'm the only one that's wearing like a red Ohio State thing, right? Dan just takes in this deep, deep inhale, and he's just like, oh, this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all these people's misery. Yeah. He just soaked it in. He goes, I feel like I'm charged or powered up now or whatever the phrase was. Yeah. But it was in a completely monotone voice. And I was like, God damn it, dude. I go, enjoy this moment. I'll sit here with you. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's like that, you know, on like Friday afternoon when you get done with your bullshit, you head to the lake and you're on the boat and you take that first drink. That's what it feels like to me.
Oh, that's great.
Or like after 4 years of hard work, Rudy Rüdiger gets a sack.
Yeah.
He was offside.
Yeah. Yeah, he was offside, Jack. So if he's a piece of shit, let's get him on the show. We'll grill him.
Yeah. We're like, hey, Rudy, you were offsides, bro.
Rudy.
Just keep saying it over and over and see if he punches it in the face like Moon Man did to that dude, Neil Armstrong. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Outside the...
Buzz Aldrin.
Was it...
That's a classic.
Was it at 30 Rock or something?
That was one of the early, like...
Was it at 30 Rock?
It was in New York.
It was in New York.
He was in New York somewhere. Yeah. He's punched a couple people, though. Like, one was at an airport.
Well, people,
paparazzi, somebody came up to him when he was about to get on a flight.
As far as the three men that were on that, as far as almost everybody in NASA at that time, Aldrin was truly kind of always the rebel. He was the talker.
Yeah.
He didn't have that same kind of like old school pilot humility that they did. He was like one of those roughneck pilot
types. Was a Top Gun guy.
Yeah, he was a bullpen pilot. Yeah.
He was an asshole.
Theo Vaughn said on his show, he goes, yeah, I met Buzz Aldrin. And he goes, I looked him in the eyes. That didn't look like a man who had been to the moon to me. And when I heard that, I was like, Theo, you go tell that to Buzz Aldrin's face, even at 92 or however, he will punch you in the fucking face.
He's done it in his 80s.
And also, I mean, if he can look into somebody's eyes and tell if they've been to the moon, I can look at his haircut and tell he doesn't know what somebody's eyes who's been to the moon looks like. You understand? He's got a fucking mullet.
By the way, we love Theo Vaughn.
Yeah, he's great. It's funny as shit, he's not a goddamn mind reader. No,
but it's really fucking funny.
Certainly not a guy that's ever been to the moon.
No, so a lot of people in the message boards are asking why you still have your shirt on.
Well, you know, if we're going to talk about bourbons, might as well publicize it.
I think you put the Z backwards there, brother.
Well, so I didn't have... Giorgio was busy setting up the studio. Usually he's my stomach hand, I like to call him.
I'm looking at it in the monitor right there.
It looks good.
It's backwards. Yeah, the Z is backwards.
It's fine, though.
Optical illusion. Well, that's for anybody who's been doing drugs at home watching the show right now.
People just assume I'm on drugs all the time, which I rarely do drugs, but so I'm okay with just... not getting things right because people already expect that of me.
Which is fun because I'm always on drugs and nobody ever knows.
And you're like Hunter Thompson levels.
Yeah.
Straight.
I'm always on drugs. Always.
Yeah.
Like 24 hours of every single day, there's something going on.
And I have a sip of a little margarita here and I'm just
beside
myself. I can't write a Z the correct way.
I want to address that. Because earlier when he was telling his story, you were making eye contact with me and drinking out of the thing with your fucking pinky flourish, and I want to know why.
Yeah, hold that up. Drink it the way you would normally drink it, Jack. There it is. Let me look at this.
By the way, if you're looking, Kyle Puhl here, however you say your name down there, if you're looking for dope Coke straws, go to lindafinegold.com to Kirill's website. Mm-hmm. They've got these little pins. It's like a pen that you put in your coat or some shit, but it's a metal straw.
Okay, Coke snorter.
Yeah.
No, big fan.
It's awesome.
Big fan.
I'm not saying to snort Coke with it. I would never do that.
Obviously not, but if you do.
Well, I mean, I snort vitamins.
Do it
I think it's actually listed as a vitamin straw on the site.
It has to be. Yeah. You can't
sell drug paraphernalia.
No, you can't do that at all.
Tommy Chong tried that back in the day. He got arrested.
He actually went to jail.
Yeah,
he's trying to get him on the show.
He did 2 years.
Yeah, like 18 months or 20 months or some shit like that.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Like a 4 or 5 year sentence for selling bongs.
Yeah,
you fucking kidding me?
By the way, I want to make sure that everybody knows where this event is at on Thursday in San Antonio. Mm. Tell everybody because you know we decided to go live with this obviously because we're 2 days out.
Right.
Out of our 10.3 million listeners, 2.1 are in the state of Texas. So tell everybody where this event is because it is in San Antonio.
It's in San Antonio. It's at a place called The Brick,
Is that where we had it last time?
Last time. Yeah, same place.
The Brick at Blue Star.
Yeah, the Brick at Blue Star. Great location. Like I said, it's going to start at 4 o'clock. I'll go to 8. Open bar. We actually, open bar, and we have six locations that we changed. So we did a little bit. We're always trying to make
things
better.
See what they are then.
So,
because the locations are based on what you're looking for as either a business person or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how we're going to, so let's just talk about the setup. So you walk in rectangle wise. So you walk in, there's a lot of new tweaks we did activation wise. So there'll be 6 drink locations first off in there. So 6 different places. I actually have bar backs working this time. So to make sure that nothing ever is not stocked. So we'll have total of 5 beer and drink tubs that are always be filled. So anybody can go get that. There's water in there too. You don't always have to drink. And then up front, there's that bar I believe you guys were sitting at last time. Mm-hmm. That's going to have an open tab. Anybody can get whatever they want there. So that's going to be constantly open. When you walk in, we're going to have, this is actually a good thing because my Jack's on here. We're going to talk about this. We're giving away prizes. We're doing more raffles, right? So besides the fact that you go to all the tables and all the people are walking around, we're going to have different activations around the actual place. In the back, we have a contest called Beat Jack Off. And so so Jack's going to have a trivia contest. Basically, it's going to be pop culture, and it's going to be
U.S. history.
U.S. history.
Oh, man. Bring it. People are fucked. They don't realize that Jack is really smart.
He is.
I watched him on Softcore History, one of our other shows here. And, dude, everybody was like, yo, Jesus Christ, Jack knows everything. Like, Good luck against Jack.
But there's a good prize. So if you got to pay to play, it's all donations because we're a 501c3. Mm-hmm. But so for that particular prize to beat Jack, it's actually cool. We have from the horse soldiers themselves, the 15-year aged, it's their bourbon, 15-year, signed by the entire team that was on the horse soldiers in Afghanistan.
Oh, did Thor sign it too? Yeah,
everyone signed it.
That's
what's going to be put up for anybody that was on the team. They said from the ODA, they actually have that, and then we have the certificate and everything else. That's going to be given up.
That's awesome.
That's fucking awesome.
So that's it. You got to beat Jack off his throne, essentially, to get that. So we're going to be giving that away. So anybody who wants to win that, be my guest and try to beat Jack. Rich High is the host, so Angry Cops will be actually the extra.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I love
Rich.
Great.
That ball of energy. So Rich,
he's going to be calling the shots.
At some point, Rich is going to have a show on this network. We just haven't figured it out yet.
Yes.
He's so entertaining.
He's amazing.
I'm down whenever. Fuck. You have a standing invitation. Jesus Christ.
Well, we got a new one starting soon with Mike the Cop.
Yeah, Mike the Cop. Eric Tanzi, Cop Talk podcast, and that'll drop. First episode is June 18th.
They're both former police officers, right?
Yes.
I don't think Mike was ever in the military, but Eric was in the infantry back in the day.
Yep.
So a lot of experience over there from two very different areas. Mike worked in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Eric worked in like Raleigh.
Right? Raleigh, Durham, which is
like on the shitty side of Raleigh.
Yeah, the shitty
too.
Side, yeah.
So lots of cool stories, a lot of fun stuff going on.
And they're
going
to go over every single case that is in the news and tell you without filter. Here's what really fucking happened, because we have not had that yet.
Yeah, it's kind of like Sunday Night Football, where the old retired ref comes on and tells you why they made those certain calls.
Exactly.
Right? So it's actually really interesting.
We got some sponsors who put the shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Happy to be back in a ghost bed and the ghost pillows. I slept like a midget on Quaaludes last night. My God, man. Thank you for the best night's sleep I've ever had in my life. The only problem is when you travel this much and you don't have a ghost bed, you realize how much you miss it, and then you almost hate the hotels you're in because you don't have this. If you don't have this mattress or these pillows or these sheets, go and get them now. It is a life changer. There's nothing more important than a great night's sleep. I was talking about that with Chuck Liddell yesterday. It's for real, man. It was on yesterday's show, I think, It's the best there is. They offer great deals. It's 30% off right now. 2 free pillows if you get a mattress. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. So you can bundle all that together with that package. And look, there's a couple of people that hit me up and said, hey, man, the no interest thing isn't real. It is real. The thing is this. You have to have decent credit. You can't just show up and have a fucking weird bankruptcy or something. Like, it's got to have decent credits. Go to GhostBed.com/drinking bros today and get those deals. Next up, we got HelloFresh. Hello. HelloFresh.com/drinking bros 12 You're going to use the promo code DrinkinBros12 on this one for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Best in the biz as far as shipping food through the mail, fresh products, fresh ingredients. The meat is fantastic. I usually hate meat from like other places, but theirs is great. I'm a huge fan of the Gouda burgers there. God bless it. And you can put it, look, it's a subscription of the month club for food, right? And it's the very freshest food on the planet. And it comes right to your doorstep. You don't have to do anything. And it comes with these little cards with the ingredients on them. Boom, it'll take you or your wife or your gay lover, whoever's making you food, or if yourself is making the food. 20 minutes, and you're good to go on that. It is the very best food on the planet. I've had them forever. It was one of those things where I called them, and I was like, look, man, I love your food, and I'd love to have it on the show. They agreed. It's the greatest. Again, with these subscriptions, you can put them on hold if you leave for a certain amount of time. So I was out of town flying back and forth and staying in hotels and stuff. Put it on hold for a couple months. Boom, came back. It was right at my doorstep. Love HelloFresh. So go to HelloFresh.com/DrinkinBros12 and use the code DrinkinBros12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's it. No strings. They're giving you 12 free meals and free shipping. Go to HelloFresh.com/DrinkinBros12 and use the code DrinkinBros12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kits.
I wonder about your event. So you're talking about having different beer stations. Have you ever seen that this new thing they're doing at college parties where you get a different color solo cup depending on what your dating status is? Like if you're single, you get one. If you're dating, you get one. If you're not looking at all, you
hilarious.
Get one. Have you ever thought about doing something like that?
That's a good, I know, I like that idea though.
And then it's like a collector's commemorative cup, right?
Yeah. Little
that's
late,
not bad. It's a little late for it to happen on Thursday.
Yeah. But not for Vegas, it's
No. I'm so looking. We have a guy that makes those, like,
that's a good idea.
It's like the double walled solo cups.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have some coming out on our website actually pretty soon.
I'm looking for work and to get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. That's going to be 90% of the people there.
Or if you're a swinger, there's a pineapple one. I guess pineapples are like the new swinger code. Have you seen this?
Upside down pineapple?
Yeah.
All right.
But like if you see somebody wearing pineapple jewelry, they're either really into pineapples or swingers.
Yeah.
And you could probably tell from looking at them which one it is.
Yeah.
Swingers all look the same to me.
You know.
There's a look in the eye.
There's always one button that's
you can tell they haven't been to the moon.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
You look
no.
in their eyes, you can tell they haven't been to the moon.
Yeah.
But they've been some weird places.
And he's swinging at your event.
So there is an underground, apparently, movement that I found out later on that there is a lot of people that partake in, they go to Burbiz to basically, I don't know if they're swinging, but they're definitely getting laid.
Dipping in the pool, good.
Yeah, they're having a good time. And it seemed to be like they said that's the place where it's a target rich environment for them. And they seem to do very well there.
It's Eric Tanzi. He's terrible. Some people were commenting, they were like, hey, you couldn't give Tanzi the full name. And I go, I can say Eric Tanzi. His photography skills though were so terrible that I took the word Eric off. I was like, you have to earn back your first name.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
It's
not
as
bad as children too.
That guy we had take our picture at the fight Sunday, the first dude that was talking about, I made some weird, maybe it's because I made that joke about his ex-wife.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, my ex-wife would tell you I'm a really bad photographer. I'm like, oh, is that why she left?
Yes.
Which I probably shouldn't have said, but
the guy was just like this.
It's the first thing that came to my mind.
And perfect.
Then he went on to take shitty pictures, but it's hard to tell if he was right and that's just how it is, or if he did it on purpose because I had offended him. You know what I mean?
Was it the thumb in front of the lens?
No, it was moving the whole time. Yeah. Every shot was blurry, and
that
he was
Holyfield
like,
picture.
Here, I'll get one from down here, too. Yeah. Like, nobody ever needs a shot from down here.
Yeah, Ross, I got to ask you about that Holyfield picture.
Away.
I looked in your eyes, and I could tell you haven't been to the moon, but you were definitely shit-faced.
Yep. Yep.
And I looked into his eyes. I said, I don't know if he's shit-faced or if that's CTE. So what was his sitch?
So here's the situation with Evander Holyfield. Because a bunch of people hit me up about this.
He doesn't seem like the partier type.
He's a weird guy to figure out, but here's his real situation. He has 11 different children. I'm sorry, 11 children with 9 different women.
Good boxer stats there.
Well, yeah. You lose all your money after something like that. Yeah.
His real stats are good too, by the way.
Yeah. So his he's a world champion and one of the very best boxers.
He's the only person
time.
Ever to have undisputed titles, which means all three organizations and two weight classes at the same time.
Cruiser. Light heavyweight and heavyweight.
Light heavyweight, cruiserweight.
Yeah. Okay. He's one of the best of all time. In real life, he has not made the best financial decisions. In real life, he's fighting again, so that's why he was at the fight. He is trying to put together the trilogy of Mike Tyson. So, yes, I think it would be gangbuster numbers. Wow. In the meantime, I believe, Hot Bob, look this up real quick. He's taking a tune-up fight against Peter McNeely, I believe.
You think he's going to wear earmuffs?
I don't know, but here's the other thing is what I said yesterday on yesterday's show.
What is that noise?
That's Giorgio's tapping into something. We can hear that little beep in her ears. That's nice.
I don't dislike it.
I don't mean either.
I'm curious what
Peter McNeely, was that the guy that fought Mike Tyson?
Turn that mic on.
Tyson's
yeah.
return fight.
That guy's a doofus. I can look into his eyes and know not only has that motherfucker never been to the moon, not only could he ever get one sack recorded for Notre Dame football, but I could beat that son of a bitch in a boxing match.
Do you Let's remember get his him. Pizza commercial? He gets knocked out by a piece of pizza?
What is it? Just scream it out loud, Bob.
You fight Mike Tyson once, it'll get you some extra dough.
June 11th?
Against Kevin McBride.
Oh, Kevin McBride. Okay, sorry. So the reason why I said Peter McNeely, same thing. They both fought Tyson. Remember Kevin McBride fought? He's the big white guy, right?
I mean, his name is McBride.
It's the
so
big
probably.
White guy?
Yeah.
He's a heavyweight boxer with the name McBride. What do you think he looks like?
Yeah. So
if I never saw Shaquille O'Neal, I'd assume, oh, this motherfucker's from Belfast.
Shaquille.
Yeah.
From Belfast. Jack, shut the fuck up.
I don't know
dude.
Shit about Celtic names.
Celtic?
So, June 11th, where is it at?
Son of a bitch.
Put them up on screen, by the way,
Wait,
so people can see them.
It's this weekend?
Is this weekend?
Oh,
my
God. Oh no, it is this week. It is this month, but it might not be this weekend.
Jesus Christ,
Bob. Get it right before you start talking.
What are we doing, Bob?
Wait, it says June 5th.
No.
Scroll back up.
Scroll
back up. It's right there in the first goddamn sentence.
It must have gotten canceled.
It must have, because he was at the fight we were at.
So, yeah, he would have fought the night before. No. That's not a thing. Look
Maybe
up Evander Holyfield fight, and then see when this is, because he was in unbelievable shape, and he looks identical to what he did fucking 30 years ago. Mm. It scared the shit out of me, and all I did was
He's
talk to
just
him.
Just some old 60-year-old wash up,
dude. He looks like he could.
He's
fucking
chiseled, yeah.
Beat your ass
yeah.
right
no
now
shit.
Today,
yeah.
And he looks great, and he hasn't aged, and it's weird. But like Dan said yesterday, he's always looked like he's 50 years old. So like it's yeah. He looks the same.
Yeah, he did look worn out even in his late 20s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And my guess is swapping all those weight classes. When you lose weight like that over and over and over again, like if you look at like Christian Bale's skin and shit, you're just like, fuck, dude, that's taking a toll.
McConaughey, same thing.
Yeah, dude, you're going from 380 pounds down to 120.
Scroll down. Read the article.
Come on, Bob.
Are you fucking kidding me? There's
Who?
No.
Come on, Bob. There, oh, it got canceled and there's no new info? Okay. So, look, there is a rumor that they want to get this Tyson fight on by November.
Can I suggest a guest live on air and put you on the spot?
Yeah.
Scott's sponsored him. He's been a dear friend of mine for years. You know what I'm talking about?
Who is it?
TJ? Tim Johnson.
Yeah,
he's fighting for the Bellator heavyweight.
Oh, fuck yeah.
What's
his
name? He's the bear? Yeah. Is that his
Yeah, he's a him? Big. And I'll tell you what, he is the quintessential Minnesotan. And I'm not outing him by saying this. This guy is—he's 36 years old, getting his first title shot ever. Mm-hmm. He's been through
what
the ringer.
What is he fighting, Bellator or some shit?
He's Bellator. Yeah. But he's a UFC vet. He did the whole North Dakota regional.
Wait, what weight class is he?
Yeah,
he's
Giorgio, pop a microphone.
So he's
on.
fighting our guy.
June 25th.
Hang on a second.
He's fighting Mohegan.
Giorgio,
not,
do you know
not
who this
Bader.
Is?
He's not fighting Bader.
Do you know who he is?
Oh, Bader's light heavy now. He lost heavy.
Yeah,
right?
Bader, it's for the interim belt for heavyweight.
Yeah, because Bader got beat at heavy, but he's still
on in, Giorgio.
Light heavy.
Yes.
Is that right?
As far as I know.
Come around that. Behind me.
Tim Johnson.
Do you know who Tim Johnson is? It's a yes or no. I can't see your head. No. Okay.
I talked to, since Giorgio is a wrestler, Scott and Giorgio both have the same kind of ex-wrestler ear going on. So Scott's a big combat sports fan. He sponsors Tim. And Tim he's 36 years old. And right now, he's just getting as many fights in as he can because he is just going to go buy land in southern Minnesota and just farm for the rest of his life.
Wait, really?
Bader is still heavyweight champion.
They're fighting for the interim belt.
And Vadim Nemkov is the light heavy championship. So did Bader vacate the heavy belt?
They're fighting for the belt June 25th.
He's fighting Bader?
No, he's fighting the Russian.
Oh, he's fighting the Russian. Gotcha.
He's fighting this guy.
Either Ryan Bader lost or he vacated that belt.
No, he's fighting light. Tim's fighting light heavy then.
No,
he's fighting.
I'm pretty sure he's doing heavyweight.
Well, that doesn't
he's
make
a
sense.
Big guy. I don't know if he could be healthy and drop that much weight.
No, he's like 260.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
he's big.
He's the quintessential Minnesotan where you look at this guy, and he was an All-American wrestler. He's actually around the fighting game. He's known as a slugger, but just the nicest guy you'll ever meet. The nicest, humblest, most Minnesota son of a bitch you can imagine.
Prince fan? Is he a Prince fan?
Oh, we all are.
Yeah, you have to be.
Prince is the only thing that takes the bell curve on cool for Minnesota.
Yep.
So, yeah, you got to love him.
Yeah, you got to. The other day was his birthday.
So what happened with fucking 63? Bader?
Yeah, what happened with Bader,
Georgia? He must have vacated that belt because he held it until recently.
Pop on over here, Georgia.
Because he was the champ.
Just right off camera.
Bader was the heavy and light heavy champ at the same time. Then he lost light heavy, I think, sometime last year.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Well, Hot Bob, look up Ryan Bader and what happened to the champ. Did he die of AIDS? He was on the show.
Look up his cousin Master.
Tim knocked it. Tim beat Matt Mitrione and then Czech Congo for the last fight.
Okay. So what happened to Bader? Did he lose or did he just leave?
No, he just beat Lyoto Machida to, like, when was this? April 9th. Yeah, but that's light heavy. So he lost to light heavy last year in August. This year in April, he retained heavy. So there's something going on. He must have vacated.
Yeah, maybe he's doing something else. Maybe he's switching to salsa dancing. A lot of people are doing that these days.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, a lot of people are getting into salsa. It pays more than being in the UFC. So, you know, why not switch it up?
Yeah. That's good that he's getting a shot, though.
Yeah, he is. He's earned it. I mean, he's been around, so we're good to... So he's good at he's still Minnesota guard. He was up there activated for the protest.
Let's get him on, dude, and we'll have him punch Jack because right there
we've done it.
Can take a I think that tummy can take a hit.
You think you could do it with a 16-ounce glove, 12-ounce glove? What do you think?
Take a shot from Tim.
Yeah,
four
in the face or the
Bellator is 4 ounce.
You're about to give a Jack a break.
If you go, I mean, if he gets you in the liver, it doesn't matter how big the gloves are. You're gonna.
I love taking my shirt off and jiggling my belly because there's no real consequence to that. I feel like. A punch in the stomach from Tim.
There'd be a consequence.
Yeah, I'm about his age, but I have 0 years of fighting experience.
Oh, I see what happened. So Bader is going to concentrate on light heavy. He won the World Grand Prix tournament for light heavy, so he's going to do that. So interim championship belt.
All right.
For heavyweight, so that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I mean Bader was telling us 2.5 years ago he's making way more money as the champ in Bellator that he ever made in fucking
UFC.
That's
why so many of them go to Bellator. UFC, UFC just pays like absolute trash.
Well, we don't know how they pay. Because
he can pick his sponsors,
though.
So he does.
Yeah, that's true.
He sets
you don't
his
have
prices.
To use Reebok.
Yeah, don't have to use Reebok. He sets his prices. Yep. He can sell the banner. He can sell the walkout shirt. He can sell everything on the shorts.
Yeah.
And he sells spots, so legs, ass, everything you want. So he gets all that money.
Even at that Logan Paul fights, both fighters had shit on like a million patches on their shit. And they were like, all those were going for whatever dollar amount they went for.
I'm sure. Same thing for Tim. Like, if you're going to sponsor him, you can get he puts everything out there. So
I watched the press conference afterwards with Mayweather. There was three waters that are on the table, and the mic was live. It was a hot mic, and he looks at his people that were sitting right off camera, and he goes, "Hey, man, these motherfuckers pay for this?
Yeah.
No? Take them off. Take them the fuck off." And so literally he took all of the waters down and threw them on the floor and then sat down. "Hey, guys.
Good for him.
What's your question?" And it was, I mean, no lie, I was dying laughing.
That's funny.
The video is on YouTube. "These motherfuckers pay? Get them out. Get them out. Get the." And it was just three cans of whatever it was.
And you know that's that could be some sports journalist that snuck their thing up there.
Right.
It's like their buddy's company or something like that.
It's usually the venue itself, whatever their brand is. And they're like, "Oh, hey, put it up here and you can drink it if you want it," whatever. Mayweather, not a prayer. "We getting paid for this shit? No, fuck you then." And then he ended up drinking one of the waters because it was right after the fight. But he put like a thing around it, you know, and was just like, "Well, I'm not even gonna let you get a picture of this fucking brand."
Look,
it's really funny.
I mean,
that's like somebody coming into your fucking store and stealing stuff.
Yeah.
His product is getting eyeballs on products.
Yeah.
I get it. He is kind of a cunt. I mean, everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
Mayweather he's like 52-0 now.
No, because that's an exhibition, so it doesn't count. He's still at 50-0. Tied with Rocky Marciano.
51-0.
No.
Because of the woman that he beat up, right?
There it is. Yeah. Unofficial.
That one didn't count?
The Vegas Commission wouldn't. Nevada but State
Rocky,
Commission wouldn't.
Rocky Marciano was 49-0.
Yeah. Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So he's won. He did the one, and that's it.
Technically,
huh?
But I don't know. Does that Conor win count on his record?
Yeah, he's 50-0.
Yeah, so. It was sanctioned.
Shit. So maybe the one, and that's it.
Marciano was 49-0.
Fuck, man. Well, there it is.
Yep.
There you have it. Well, good luck to your buddy. Yeah, shit. If he's around, we'd love to have him on the show.
When's that fight?
Yeah, when is
June
it?
June 25th. Yeah.
Okay.
Where does he live? Is he?
He trains at Extreme Couture in Vegas.
He's a full time in Vegas.
Sure. And he trains with Randy.
He commutes to Minnesota to do his guard stuff. There. Yeah.
He had to literally go there.
He had to go to the Chauvin trial.
And then
hopefully they don't pop off again during this fight.
You're kidding.
Yeah. No, during training, he had to go.
After the fight was announced.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, because we were getting pictures from him like he was walking around fucking Minneapolis. I'm like, you're not training? He's like, no, I'm active. Like, holy shit. Yeah.
For the whole trial?
Yeah.
Dude, that took out 3 weeks of training then?
Yeah.
That sucks, man.
And he's done his entire professional fighting career like that, having obligations to the farm, to the National Guard. Like, he's all over the place.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah, I mean, if he's we're going to be in Vegas probably the second week of July for the Big Three.
I think stuff. So, yeah.
Like the, Big Three, that basketball. Like, it's all...
We're working on some with Ice Cube.
It's all retired.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything I know about that is about sports is from Bryant Gumbel.
Yeah. Well, you should. HBO.
I'm a Greg guy.
Ah, are you?
Yeah. He looks like he's living a better life.
I love the whole Gumbel family.
He's a little fatter, which means he's having a better time. Like, he doesn't care what he looks
Ralph
like.
Ralph Belli. Nothing wrong with it.
No.
Nothing wrong with it. Yeah, but that Big Three is starting to pick up where there's a bunch of ex-guys who are like, all right, I want to play.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And they do one overseas every year, and each person gets like $1 million. What's the name of that? Aaron Kraft always wins it from Ohio State. Every single time.
It'll be interesting to see who plays in it because it's like a lot of former NBA stars.
Yeah.
Like Charles Oakley was one of the coaches of one of the teams, I think.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
Yeah. Steven Jackson, I think, was going to be involved somehow, but I don't know if he's got time in between, protesting and stuff.
Sure. Well, it's over now. Yeah. But if they
I had a 10-minute conversation with him in the parking lot after the fight. Not about anything in particular. Like me and Chuck.
Oh, shit. Did you?
Me and Chuck were just sitting there talking to him for 10 minutes or so about nothing in particular.
So they went to the fights. I saw him and Matt Barnes, right? So him and Matt
Barnes was there. T.O. was there with those guys.
Well, the two of them in particular have a podcast on Showtime, All the Smoke.
Yeah.
That's where the Kwame Brown shit erupted.
Yeah, Kwame Brown is, he's milking that for everything it's worth, isn't he? That's all he posts about anymore. But he lit them up pretty good.
No, so what he's doing now is just going live on YouTube every day telling everyone he's ever met in his entire life to fuck off.
Yeah.
And it's the funniest shit of all time. No lie, if we could sign that guy's show, he does not give a shit.
No, quite.
And he's I even got roped into, there was something 2 days ago, we were sitting in the airport, and I put it on, and I was like, there was a guy, like his brother or something in the office, and he's talking about his life and fucking what you should do with money and blah, blah, blah. And his brother said something, and he goes, motherfucker, what did you say? And he goes, you act like you've done something in this world. Mm. I mean, he doesn't give a shit about
anything. No, he's a pretty decent shit talker.
The thing is, he got criticized his entire, almost all of his 20s and into his 30s.
He got criticized out of basketball by Michael Jordan himself.
Really?
Michael Jordan broke that dude down into a million pieces.
Well, the worst part was he went from Jordan, and then after that, then he got traded to the Lakers.
Yeah.
So he went to Kobe, and it's the same person.
Well,
so.
Kobe was a little nicer than Jordan, probably, but by that time, Brown was hopelessly lost. No.
But Kobe was not nice.
You know what?
He was nowhere near what Jordan did. He wasn't getting punched in the face by his teammates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a fine line between fucking Latrell Sprewell.
If you can spend even 1 year in the NBA, like you've done most, like, just like getting one sack with Notre Dame, you've done more just than most, like, of the population.
Like, God damn it, like Chet. Being on the Buffalo Bills practice squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Chet, dude.
Like Chet Scoblin, yeah. Which we made that character up on the spot.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't remember how that, what was the product, the first one? Oh, it was Theragun.
Theragun, yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, hey, Jack, let's make a commercial, and you just started acting like a fucking asshole. I'm like, yeah, this works.
Thanks to Scott, I've met a lot of former athletes, and most of them are stand-up dudes, but every once in a while you get that guy, it's like, man, you need to let go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that dude still talking about basic training in his 40s.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Chet's picks. We're going to have Chet's picks this fall for the NFL.
Yeah, we're getting you a full-on Bills practice squad jersey.
Yeah, I want to get the mesh pads, one that's cut off.
Everything. Yeah.
I want to get the 80s one. Remember the mesh ones that were cut off, the midriffs there? I want to get
that. With the fucking three stripes on the sleeve.
Yeah. I think we can pull like that off. I can get that. I can call my guy.
It's the one after that, I think, actually. Yeah. It's the 80s
one. I don't want to brag or anything, but I actually happened to meet the legend himself, Thurman Thomas, at an Applebee's in 2009 when I was on my way to the airport after I got cut from the practice squad of the Buffalo Bills.
Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly.
Bruce Smith. Another Redskin.
Yeah.
0-4.
Scott Norwood.
And Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh. Talk about, like, they tried harder than Rudy Rudiger. At least Rudy Rudiger got one sack out of it.
God damn it, man.
Dan's going to kill himself live on
that. I am. This is actually, somebody had a good joke the other day. We were talking about how Bob's having a baby shower, right? His wife's pregnant. She's about 6 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And I said I was going to show up to the baby shower, wait till all the gifts are unwrapped, and then blow my brains out onto them. And somebody was like, is that technically a gender reveal because it's the pink mist, right?
Greatest
line
ever.
But I think it's a girl, or it's a boy, though, right?
The baby. It is a boy, yeah.
So I'll have to put blue food coloring in my brain somehow. Yeah.
We'll put it around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what it is? When you go and get MRIs, they pump you full of that blue.
That dye, yeah.
Yeah, that blue dye, so.
Yeah, I might do that. The other joke I had, and it's I tried to get Jack to use it on Jack's Friday, but I want to get it out.
Oh, yeah, I fucked up.
Yeah, you really fucked up on that one, because it was still inclement weather back then. When it was it was raining a lot here in Texas, it was right at the beginning of Pride Month, which apparently we're in now, unless you're in the Middle East.
Like, yeah.
If you go look at every business's fucking Instagram account, and you can see the rainbow flag behind their logo, except for their Middle East accounts.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Same with China,
weird.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking super weird. No idea why that's the case. Anyways, this is the joke. The joke is that we were having mild inclement weather. It's annoying in Texas, right? It's been raining for fucking ever.
Two weeks.
The entire South.
Yeah.
It's been raining for like 2 or 3 weeks. So I said that maybe God has dialed it back a little bit on the gay stuff. Like, he's still not thrilled about it, but now he's just kind of mildly inconveniencing us instead of a global flood.
God's keeping up with the times.
He's not turning anybody into salt.
Right.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
Even God's he's starting to change his tune on the whole issue.
Well, I don't know if he's changing his tune, but maybe he's just busy.
Well, I have a fucking plague by us. We have the cicadas up by us. It's just fucking.
What's the deal with people eating cicadas?
Yeah. Those videos have been going around everywhere.
They're selling them on street corners. People make food and shit and they eat them with
That was one of the 10 plagues.
Exactly.
On Pharaoh, right? Or is locust?
But these cicada videos have been going around on TikTok and Instagram of people cooking the cicada videos and eating them. Is it that delicious, or is just a fucking?
I would never try it, but apparently there's fucking that many stupid people who have nothing to do but eat insects.
That's great.
I mean, some people like that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But these things are fucking.
You expect people in the Appalachians to do stuff like that. But when it's like Judy that lives out in the suburbs of D.C.
There was a bunch of videos from people in upstate New York. Like
the
Syracuse area. Like, oh, yeah, there's fucking cicadas everywhere. We're going to cook some, like grill some up or fry them, deep fry them. Like, what? Why?
No.
Dude.
It's bizarre, though. You walk into some places, like, I'm not even kidding. There's a film of them on the floor. There's like
Texas Roadhouse with the peanuts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it's like. But the entire every surface is covered with them. It's bizarre. It's every 17 years and
fucking here we are.
And they're loud. Holy shit.
They're loud as shit.
Oh my God. It doesn't stop. And it's nonstop. They never shut up. 24 hours from when
every
it started.
Every 17 years. and then
That's weird. That's about
Matt
how often
gets all riled up every 17 years.
That's about how often America starts a major war, by the way. About every 17 years.
Every 17 years.
Yeah.
Jack, why are you still wearing that shirt?
I don't know. Getting kind of weird at this point.
It's getting, like, we've never seen you with any form of clothing on top up, but, I mean, look, it's your call, obviously.
Mandeville formal.
Look at that.
Yeah. Can you?
Did he go to the events like this, by the way?
Oh, yeah, he did. Remember, you guys missed when he did the Vegas, he did the rap-off against battle.
We were there. We were there for that. Yeah, it was a blast.
Yes.
Well, I was there.
He was in full garb.
I was there, but I wasn't there.
I remember talking to Dan. I'm like, Dan's having a good time.
I was tuned up. We did like three shows before he came over. One was with Rudy Reyes, where he drank an entire bottle of whiskey.
That is never aired.
Yeah, we can't air it because there's all kinds of illegal shit on there. Then we did one with Tara. I'm terrible right after that.
Yeah. I remember that.
By the time we fucking made it to the place, we were already shit.
I think she found Jesus after that.
I saw her that night with Jared in the hotel lobby, and they were screaming at the top of their lungs at each other in front, in the middle of the casino.
Jared likes to do it.
Not like domestic violence, but like just to get louder than each other.
Jared and Jesse do that shit all the time.
They did it at that Burbis.
Yeah, if we're in public somewhere and we're waiting in line for a restaurant or whatever it is, if we're just in public with nothing to do and they get bored for whatever reason, they start yelling at each other like a pretend fighting. It's so goddamn annoying.
They did it on Range 15 all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was kind of the characters.
Yeah.
So maybe that's that character just has continued.
Continued to live forever.
But it is Jared likes doing that. He clearly doesn't mind embarrassing himself in public. And now apparently he's bought a fucking jet. So
I'm seeing the videos here. We got to get him in. Because he went to do what, ayahuasca?
I don't know what he did, but he bought a jet for sure, and he's flying it around everywhere.
But I think he told me he was going on something or whatever. He talked about it on his Instagram today, and he shaved his beard and he shaved his head as well. So he got rid of the long hair and he got rid of the beard. Today.
I don't think he shaved his head, but he did shorten.
Pull up his Instagram. Pull up Jared's Instagram.
I think it's just he cut the hair.
Art 15, I believe it is.
Yeah, he could put a polo on at this point.
Yeah, he's just got slightly shorter hair. But not...
he was going full mullet for a long time.
Oh, he did Ibogaine, too, which is very...
Yeah, what
very,
is that?
It's very powerful. It's another hallucinogen.
Gotcha. I don't believe I've ever heard of that.
He may have done ayahuasca as well, because I know the retreat he's talking about.
Okay.
So they do everything. They do MDMA, they do psilocybin, they do the whole...
Put Jared's Instagram on the screen here, because he woke up, and I was like, I don't think I've seen Jared without a beard.
It's been about 2.5 or 3 years, give or take.
And then he cut his hair off.
Yeah. Yeah, but his hair length has changed. Like, he had a mullet for a while, but the beard has been there for a minute,
Yeah,
he's into all kinds of shit now. And so we've actually got this idea. I guess I'll go ahead and say it now. Jared and I, behind the scenes, have been developing a series of challenges for you that you have to do.
For me personally.
Yes. So we're going, like, skydiving shit.
I've been skydiving. Okay.
But it's, okay, not like this. So it's that.
Okay.
And it is... going to rally car school.
All right. I wouldn't mind that. I did something similar back then.
Try out for the University of Notre Dame football squad.
Now that I
so you can get into one game
you do have 4 years.
I've got
eligibility,
4 years eligibility left, so I could. I could easily still punt for those guys.
Yeah. The other one is flying the jet.
I did that actually.
Well, I mean, like, this one of his specifically.
Yes.
He's been going to, you know how Dakota, 2 years ago, went to 53 straight days of helicopter school to get his helicopter pilot license? That's what Jared's doing right now.
Oh, like, gotcha.
He's blowing through a fucking program to get licensed and shit like that and just do training because he likes it. But
it is fun as shit, man.
We're going to do like 5 or 6 different scary ass challenges for you.
Yep.
And record the whole thing and try what we can see what we can do about
the life insurance has come through. So
yeah, we're all
done with that. The company's fine.
Yeah,
wife is fine. So I'm insured.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we're gonna do a bunch of crazy shit.
That's awesome.
I think one of them was we're gonna put you through Tim Kennedy's shooting school too.
You know what? I would actually love that. By the way,
that one will be really fun. Dude, he does 3 days. One of them is like, it depends on the program you do, but sometimes it's 4. I think one of them is like a wilderness survival thing, and then there's pistol and a couple of days of fucking long gun.
Here's what makes Tim Kennedy so great is when he's doing
combatives and shit. That's the
classes.
Yeah.
He talks to you like a normal person and he's not talking above you, right? Right. There's a lot of these shooting fucking schools. I'm not going to say who they are in Los Angeles for movies and movie stars and all this other thing. And they talk down to you about shit of like, why you don't fucking know how to do this and this and this. And it's like, It's not really that fucking helpful. We right. know you can do it, asshole. Yeah, that's I'm not here. Paying you for that. We're paying you to teach me how to be better.
Right.
The way Tim talks to people is the reason why he's so successful with everything in life.
Well, that's what's the job of special forces in the Army. People yep. don't understand for some reason. They think it's all Rambo shit. The vast majority of it, unless you're on a SIF team or something like that, is to train local nationals. That is your expertise, to learn languages, learn cultures, and then train these people on how to do paramilitary operations. So he, of course, he's good at it. And he's uniquely mentally situated to do that work as well.
And when other people in any field, by the way, not just him, but any other field, talk down to you about things, it makes you frustrated and not want to fucking do shit, right? Whereas, like, directing with people like Jack, you've never been in anything, but it's like, hey, take a deep breath, go again. Who gives a fuck about these people and everything else? Like, nobody's going to give a shit until what's on the screen. But it's the people that talk down to you about shit. It's like, hey, motherfucker, you were teaching or not? Right.
That's
like,
why
are you helping out?
That's why people like Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky were never able to have success in the front office. Because they were just like, dude, just shoot the ball, man.
Just be
like,
the best.
Like Ted, after Ted Williams retired, he tried to do what Chipper Jones is doing now for the Braves, which is be like kind of a part-time hitting consultant mostly what Chipper Jones does is teach Ronald Acuna how to swing at good pitches. Like, that's most of his job. But Ted Williams came on.
It's a good investment.
It's a very good investment because he's on his way to a fucking MVP maybe, right?
Yeah,
Hall of Fame career.
At 23 years old, yeah. So Ted Williams would, like, he literally would say that to people while he was training. I'd be like, hey, man, you just got to put the bat on the ball. Like, Ted, what the fuck does that mean? We all know that that's the goal here, motherfucker. Asshole. He's like, you know, when you foul the ball off and you can smell the wood burning off the bat, that's when you know you're really on it. You hit one of the seams. And it went straight back, and everybody's like, what the fuck are you talking about,
that,
Ted?
Bro, that is an acid flashback.
They told that. Remember at 97 when they wheeled him out for the All-Star game, and he threw out the first pitch and shit, and everybody's shaking his hand, blah, blah, blah. During the broadcast, they told that fucking story.
He's probably smelling Korea when he was there.
He was a pretty good fighter pilot.
Just as great at killing people as he was killing that ball.
And he lost about four seasons to two separate wars.
He also lost his head after he died. It's frozen.
That's right.
It's frozen somewhere, right? Then they freeze
that's
the head.
That's not a rumor. His children have confirmed that.
Yeah, they've confirmed it. Now's the point of the show where we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Sir, who would you like to give that to?
Shit, I'll say what I said earlier, Justin Constantine.
Okay.
Amazing. I've worked with him now for years, and that dude is – and here's the other thing. He just beat stage 4 cancer. On top of everything fucking else that dude had to him, he just – I mean, we just found out in January at the day at Berber's in Vegas, he called me. He's like, I can't come out. And I go, why? He goes, I have cancer, and it's bad. Mm. And I goes, I don't know how long. And he was in Europe at the time. His wife was at Cambridge getting her PhD.
Mm-hmm.
And
Cambridge.
The Cambridge and Oxford. And she was, he's like, fuck, I got to come home. And I'm like, all right. Because they were coming back for the event. And I'm like, you just do whatever you got to do. Turns out it was everywhere in his body. Mm. Started in his pelvis, and then started his prostate, and then went everywhere. And he's recovered now, which is amazing because he had like a fucking no chance. Like, they were like, no chance. But of all the guys, you want to be inspired by a guy like that, who's the most positive motherfucker in the world, who's been shot in the head. He was an attorney too prior to when he went over there. He was a JAG officer, and then he volunteered for civil affairs patrol stuff. And then he got shot in the head, but he went through all that. You know, he just think about how crazy this whole thing is. He just got a surgery on top of that. He had to wait. Since he was shot in 2006, he just got a surgery to finally do implants in his thing so he can, like, chew food again.
Yeah.
That was 15 years later. Jesus. He hasn't been able to chew. So anyway, that's my guy. I would say right now, anybody who inspires me, I think I'm having a shit day, that dude fucking checks me real quick.
Did he beat cancer?
He did.
He did.
So it's in remission. It's in remission. Right. Again, somehow, he had lesions everywhere. And when we saw him in November. He looked, he was very thin. We were worried.
And he was always like, he's a big dude.
We were worried about him. And, I would go visit him all the time just during this whole pandemic just to get him. We'd go sit at a bench by his fucking house just to get him out of the house and shit while he was in recovery.
His background is he's done very well in the corporate public speaking tour, which is how Rudy Rudiger makes most of his money. So
from Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Motivational speaking. That's true, by the way. I'm not just saying that.
No, we can go ahead and kill Jack's microphone permanently. And then maybe Jack himself. Well, yeah. I'm going to throw in one more drinking bro of the week here. I said this a little early in Ross Patterson Revolution, but really want to thank USAA. They're not a sponsor at all. That is the only reason I am moved back into my house in Texas so quickly. Most of my family is military. That insurance gets passed down through generation to generation. My grandfather was the one who said, look, this is a little bit more expensive than most of the other places, but I promise you there will be one point in your life where there's a complete fucking disaster, and he goes, you will need this insurance, and they will fucking help you. I went through that. It was $218,000 in damages. They paid immediately. They were unbelievably helpful, and we were all moved in back into Texas, whole family and everything else. Definitely want to give those guys a shout out. I did not have one single fucking problem with them, and it was record speed. And during what we went through here, I think like 30% of the houses got some form of flooding from the storm and everything else. It was to the point, and they were blunt when it happened. They were like, look, we don't even have restoration companies to come out and help you. So if you can call somebody else, we'll pay. Yeah, and they said, if you can call somebody else, we'll pay. We went on Drinking Bros. Mike Boscovich and those guys came down, did that house, paid them. USA paid them. And like, phenomenal. So thank you. Again, not a sponsor whatsoever, but my grandfather was right, and that is the reason all my family is back. So thank you very much, USAA. And thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. One more time, tell everybody where the event is on Thursday, what time it starts, and where it's located.
So we'll see everybody at the Brick at Blue Star in San Antonio, 4 to 8 p.m. It's free. Everybody can come, of course. If you didn't pre-register, that's fine. You can register at the door. And we'll see you there, and then we'll give you information about Vegas, which is coming up in January.
And when he's saying Thursday, this Thursday. June 10th.
Yep. June 10th.
At the Brick, 4 o'clock?
Yep, Brick, 4 o'clock.
Great. Jack, you going to be there?
Yes, I will be there.
Yeah.
Got to beat Jack off. The good news is, too, in that little trivia competition, if I win, people will be like, oh, wow, he's smarter than I thought. And if I lose, they're like, yeah, he's a dumbass. So it's win-win for me.
I didn't know if you were going to zoom in. That's why I said if you're going to be there, you know.
Well, he lives in San Antonio.
A block away from where it's happening.
The ultimate I'm Jack move would back. Be like, hey, dude, I'm not coming in. I've got to zoom in for this.
Yeah, from your house.
From your house.
A block
that's
away.
That's a Jack move. Why not? I can see that.
Sorry. The dog's shitting right now.
Go in a different room in the same building and zoom in. Don't let these people tell you what to do.
The reason why I say that, by the way, is we were short a guest one day. We had Jack zoom in, and he goes, yeah, man, I could fucking zoom in, I guess, but my dog's going to take a shit. Is that okay? And I was like, yeah, man. So it's on one of the shows, I forget, and he's zooming in, and he goes, there's my dog shitting right there. He's shitting right in the front fucking yard. What do you think of this, Russ? I'm like, I don't know, Jack. Appreciate it. You couldn't have sat and done it from a computer or anything else. Nope. Just took the Zoom on the phone and forcefully had me watch his dog take a shit. So fucking it. Proud of you, Jack.
He's a good boy.
Love you. You can see Jack every Friday nights on Drinking Bros Patreon for the Friday night Jack sesh. We appreciate you guys being there. Online, where can they find you?
Burbiz.com.
B-O-U-R-B-I-Z.
.com.
Yeah.
Great. Always a blast. And thank you for the OJ helmet.
Absolutely. Yes, you guys, this is great. It was great to get it for you.
So a lot of my very favorite all-time gifts are up here. Dwight, that.
OJ.
This fucking wine holder with the big dick thing. And Chuck Liddell gave me that bobblehead himself.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And Adam Krola gave us this Mangria. So I'm a fan of that. I got rocked on that one night.
It's 20.9%. Fortified. Yeah, it's fortified wine.
Yes. Best in the biz.
Yeah.
Go to the Burbiz event on Thursday if you are in San Antonio, 4 o'clock at the Brick. It is free. You can get fucked up with Mr. Jack Mandeville and myself. For Anthony Dancing Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. We are drinking.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.